This is Relationship, a podcast presenting a gay look at traditional relationships and values.
With your hosts, the Cratellis. I'm Marco.
And I'm Tony.
Unicorn is the uniform you put on. Eyes on you when you perform. Eyes on I when I put on. Mastermind their whole couture. Label whores can't clock. I'm so obscure. Masterpiece genius. Drip intravenous. Patty cake on that wrist. Tiffany blue. Billboards over that ceiling. We don't like plain. Always dreamed of paper planes. Mile high when I rodeo. Then I come down and take off again. You see pleasure in my glare. Look over my shoulder. You ain't scared. The effects you have on me when you stare. Head on my pillow. Hike it in the air. I was for sure you would at least give me one unique.
Were you?
Yeah, I was convinced.
Have we met?
I mean, like, at least one. Come on. I, like, did that whole fun part and got nothing.
I think you have to temper your expectations so you're not disappointed so often.
Well, maybe you should just stop disappointing me. And that would be, you know, very helpful. That could be a thing.
I don't know where this delusion that I'm your backup singer came from. But it's never been fulfilled. So at some point, reality should sink in.
No, you are
you're constantly handing me the mic and there's dead air.
You're right. You really are bad at your job.
It's not my job. It is. You are delusional.
You're terrible at this.
Where did this come from? I did management. Not sign up for this.
Well, neither did I.
Never once when we were dating. No, never once when we were dating did I backup sing for you.
You always backup sing for me. No. At least once in a while you think you're cute backup sing for me.
I am cute.
You would think that after like 11, how long have we been together?
13 How long, Marco?
Years. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ. 11. 13 years that you would be like, you know what? I can give him a little ooh and ah, like every now and then.
Oh, I can give you a lot of ooh and ah.
As soon as I said that, I was like, oh, God.
We both know it's not a little ooh and ah.
My gosh.
Yeehaw.
Hi, y'all.
Hello. Howdy.
We're here. Oh, my goodness. How are we?
We're good. Energy's coming back a little bit. Mornings aren't so bad.
It's true.
Yeah.
So quick update, really quick. Tony spent
I went to the hospital
a couple
again.
Of days last week in the hospital.
Woohoo, fun for me.
We didn't really make a huge thing out of it because I don't know if you guys know this, but like as much as Tony and I are you know, public about our lives and things, we're like really not amazing or overly interested in sharing everything, especially as it's happening, because the last thing, I'm not one of those zillennials that
pay attention to me, stuff's happening
to me, and I instantly grab my phone and start recording,
right? Like,
that's just not
yeah
my
don't
nature.
You dare ever post a picture of me in the hospital or
I will not be doing that.
No
I will not. Like, that's just not me. We'll get on the microphones and we'll talk about it. Like, I have no problem recounting the situation, but I'm not gonna be like, oh my god, this is gonna be great content, let's Instagram live this shit. Like, that's just not how we function as human beings. So
no shade to anyone who does that, but it's just not us.
Kind of a little bit of shade on
okay,
my
well,
end.
I meant no shade.
I mean, only because, not because I don't think that, like, look, we live in an era where people like share their lives in a very openly and candidly like way, and I'm completely here for that, but I also think that there are things that take place that don't require an audience. And it's okay to go back and talk about it. And you know, there's a rapper that literally just got shot up at like a Roscoe's Chicken and Waffle House, and people, I mean, we're not even going to get into this topic because it's stupid, but his girlfriend posted that he was at Roscoe's and then ended up getting and then he was like shot afterwards. So everyone's like blaming his girlfriend for like making the post about them being there, even though anybody that wanted to shoot him was already planning on shooting him before he even went to Roscoe's. So he could have been at Roscoe's or the Applebee's and would have gotten shot up. So like, it doesn't really matter what's going on there. But my whole point is that, like, I think that we spend way too much time as a people, like, grabbing our phone and being like, this is what I'm doing right now. Look at me. And sometimes it's okay to like live in the moment, have a good time in the moment, and then like replay those memories later, if that makes any sense. And that's kind of just how Tony and I function as a couple is, you know, he was in the hospital for a few days. And I kind of was quiet about it because honestly, I was busy worried about my husband and trying to find answers. So I love y'all very much, but I wasn't really thinking about you. Like, and I know that sounds like really mean, but like, it's true. I was thinking about my husband and what was going on with him. And again, we will get on these microphones and talk a little bit about that experience together. With y'all, we'll share the details because y'all are our family and we love you very much. And we want to make sure that you're, you know, informed. But I'm not going to do it while he's laying up in a hospital bed or while we're waiting for test results to come back and stuff like that. Like, that's just, it's too much. That's too much in our lives, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah. I think, I don't know, even know if I'm making sense. But anyways, Tony was in the hospital for about 3 days. Mm-hmm. And no answers. We got more tests done, a lot more exploratory tests,
right,
that are coming up with some results that were not found initially, which is kind of exciting because I feel like we're a little bit closer to the answer.
We have some direction. My concern is the list of things it could be continues to grow while the list of follow-up and procedures continues to remain stagnant.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah, it's very weird. So next appointment's tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just lay it all on that doctor's lap and be like, fix it.
Yeah.
At least diagnose it.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But I did want to take a quick second to give, and this is mainly coming from me, but it's also coming from the Critellis and the Relationship Podcast. I did want to take a second to thank every single one of our listeners that reached out to us after last week's episode. I know no one ever thought that they would hear me crying on a podcast. And so I'm pretty sure that
or ever,
right? So I'm pretty sure that was shocking to just about everyone. But I do thank everyone who reached out. We got DMs, we got emails, we got, text messages from so many listeners, all of which who said they too cried during the episode. A couple of emails that said, holy shit, this episode was so special and so important to me. Never in a million years would I have even thought about these types of things that you guys are going through. And this episode inspired me to like start moving forward with like putting into motion my in case of emergency type situations, which is exactly what we wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Which was like super, like that was our motivation. That was what we needed to do because I myself was blindsided by this emergency and this reality that like, holy fuck, I don't know what I'm going to do if this situation goes south. And I just didn't want anyone else to be experiencing that same thing in those, you know, an emergency is happening. The last thing you want to be thinking about is how the hell your rent's going to get paid.
Right.
You know, like you don't want to be thinking about that type of shit. So that was our motivation for doing that episode. It just so happened that we had a story to share behind it, because as most of y'all know, we end up sharing a lot of our topics come from life experiences, things that we are experiencing
issues in our relationship
sometimes in the moment.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the transparency that we have decided to, you know, make the foundation of this podcast. And I think it works for us and it's really great, but that's kind of what happened. And so, I'm yammering at this point, but I do want to thank you all for reaching out, for showing so much love and support to Tony. He doesn't always get to see them because anyone who has listened to this podcast knows that Tony is not Mr. Social Media and he's not tuned into the emails or the DMs or anything like that. But I shared each and every one of them with him. So thank you for that.
It was very kind.
It was insanely kind. Mm-hmm. You all are stupid special to us. For those that reached out and said very kind words to me as well, I am floored because that it was not expected. I cannot reiterate the fact that I just did what I thought was necessary to make sure that the love of my life was taken care of, that I just sprung into action. Like, it just felt like what needed to be done. And thankfully, I was able to kind of see it through and see him and have him open his eyes and be with me longer, which is exactly what I wanted. So anybody that, you know, forwarded along very kind words to me was super special. Your cousin reached out and texted us and said a very beautiful sentiment in which, you know, that she, you know, loved the fact that I love you so much and how special, like, just hearing that was for her. And for that, I do 1000% appreciate acknowledging that, because I do very, very, very much so love you. You know, you and I bump heads and annoy the shit out of each other as often as we possibly can. But at the end of the day, you're my man, and I'm obsessed with you, and I love you very dearly. And I will box a doctor for you if I need to. I will, you know, give you the breath of life twice if I need to. I will do whatever I need to have you stay here with me a little bit longer. So, yeah. Anyways, I just wanted to thank everybody for that. That was really special to me. Did you have anything you wanted to say?
No, just to echo that. I mean, thank you. It was very touching. It was very moving. It's, again, insanely kind. And it's nice to feel support throughout this whole ordeal.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is. It's a lot.
It is.
And to everyone that's on our, that's in our lives, the, again, the Ericas, the Danas, the Steves, the, you know, my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, your brother, Stephanie, your sister, our sister-in-law, Dwayne, my bestie, Dwayne, Gloria, and my cousin, Melissa, and, you know, everyone, my Kiona, my aunt Nikki, and, you know, like, just everyone that has reached out, Tracy, your cousin Tracy, you know, reached out and done so much for us and like been there and been supportive and have, you know, kind of dropped everything that they can do to make sure that we are okay.
Yeah.
It's very, very lovely and very appreciated. Even, you know, I've got to give a quick shout out to, Stephanie, one of our neighbors has a friend named Stephanie that has reached out multiple times, you know, to check in with you and say super kind words. And it's just been lovely.
It is.
It's been super lovely. Jordan and Melissa were, you know, texting and checking in. Those things are nice. They're very kind. That helps us feel seen. And so that's nice. So I promise I won't be crying this episode.
We'll see.
So if you're tuning in for that, you're going to be thoroughly disappointed.
But if you're a patron,
yes, I will. I will squeeze some tears out there. No, I will not. I am not crying ever again.
We'll see.
So y'all better put that last week's episode on loop, because that's because that is all you're gonna get. That is all you are going to get.
And the well is dry.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I won't even be mad at it, because it'll just help our numbers grow up even more. So thank you very much for that. What say you, we hop into our hashtag queer relationship goals for the week.
Let's do it.
Awesome. Tony and I have picked a wonderful queer couple to highlight and praise as a positive representation of a relationship within the queer community. If you are interested in becoming our hashtag queer relationship goals on a future show, or if there is a queer relationship that inspires you, please tag us on your photos on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. Our handle is @podrelationship. Together, let's further the movement that shines queer relationships in a positive light. How about that, eh?
Let's do it.
All right. So this week, as soon as I can get my phone to stop, do you ever like do things with your phone every once in a while? And like, it's almost like you're touching your phone for the very first time ever. Do you ever do that?
You're where, like, re-virginizing your phone?
Well, no. Yeah, I know that sounded really weird. No, where like sometimes you're like, oh, I have to go to pictures. Wait, where are pictures in my phone? And you're like it's almost like you've never seen your phone before. Does that ever happen to you where you have just like a momentary like brain fart and you don't know what the hell you're doing?
No, but my phone's more organized than yours.
My phone is insanely organized. It is. It's insanely organized, but I think I organized it so much that I forget what I did, and I think that's part of the problem. So
yeah, that's anyways, not organization.
It's totally organization. Totally organization. So today we're focusing on an adorable couple that live just right over the water in Jersey. Well, over two waters for us.
Technically.
Two waters, yes. But they live in Jersey City, which I'm very sorry to hear. but they're an adorable couple. This week we're focusing on Troy David Blackman and his honey, who I don't know that I can properly pronounce his last name, but he's Frank Vignola. I'm going to say Vignola.
Okay.
Is that what we're going to go with?
That's what you're going to say?
Vignola? I don't know. I don't know, guys.
Frank.
Frank and Troy. That's who we're focusing on. It's funny because you actually picked, I mean, I had saved them, but you picked them out because, you know, I save all of the couples that I'm inspired by. And then, you know, we kind of go through and take a look. And Tony saw them and was like, direct quote. Tony said, "Ooh, let's focus on the bears that live in Jersey City." And I said, okay.
The cute bears that live in Jersey City.
I said, okay, that's fair. And that's what we're doing today. I love them. Every once in a while, we get some beefy boys that are, you know, that get to grace our Instagram page every now and then. And, you know, some of them are just beefy, period. And then a few of them get to be like beefy with so much more beyond that. And that's this couple, is that they're cute, they're beefy, they're lovely, they're adorable, but they're also like sweet and cute together. Mm-hmm. And they're fun to like witness, if you will. Like they're just adorable. They're kind to each other. They're kind to everyone. They've got some depth to them that I just is very intoxicating.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely hit the nail on the head. They're just like fun and talented and warm and light and lovely. And do you want to say you know, their handles?
Oh my god, I totally didn't do that. Thank you for throwing out there. You can check out Troy. He's at Insta Blackman, so that's InstaBlackmon. And then his beau Frank is at V as in Victor, VignolaGram. That's Vignolagram, if you will, or Vignolagram. We can't decide right now. Troy or Frank, if you're listening to this, feel free to reach out
and
correct me.
He loves it when that happens.
I love that.
Not as much as I do.
It's my favorite. Definitely do it. But yes, no, there's definitely a plus to everything that they have going on, which is what I like. Again, if you want beefy, fun, you know, great guys, good looking guys on here, like they've got that for you, right? Like they're very attractive. They've got all the gym, you know, posts that you want to look at, and there's no shortage of shirtlessness that goes on there as well. Right. But beyond that, like even, you know, one of the things that I like the most about Troy's is oh my God, my brain just literally fell out of my head.
Into your butt.
If you look at his post, not his post, but like his profile, he says father partnered Christian graphic designer, tech guy, fitness trainer. It's just like there's layers to who they are. And I love the fact that, and this is just one of those prime examples of like, there's just no one way to be queer, right? Mm-hmm. I think that we are like, we are so multifaceted. We have so much that is a part of who we are and how we are. And yes, you know, the fact that we tend to like our same genders is a part of it. But like, there's so much more. There's so much more to us. Like, we go to the gym. We like tech. We like anime. We like musicals. Like, we have, there's so much more to us. And that's what I think is really amazing about these two, is that they kind of show that.
Yeah, they're just incredible. This is another of those, like, whole package deal. Like, there's the goofy, right? And there's the playing with kids. And then there's the going to Cambodia to volunteer. And then there's, you know, like, it's just, it's incredible.
Having a good time in Punta Cana. Yeah. Which you know is one of our favorite places.
Yeah, right? We have to compare notes because the ocean they went in is much cleaner than the ocean we went in.
Totally. Yeah, we're in...
Because we go to Bávaro as well. Yeah, so they go, We'll have to find
mm-hmm. out where they go. But they're just adorable. They've got gorgeous smiles, gorgeous mm-hmm. personalities. They love each other. They're just adorable. I'm like a huge fan. I'm a very huge fan of them. Mm-hmm. And we know that y'all will be a huge fan of them as well. So definitely check them out on Instagram. Again, Frank's is at V as in Victor, IGNOLAGRAM. That's at Vignolagram. And you can check out Troy. He's at Insta Blackman. That's INSTABLACKMON on Instagram as well. Follow them, double tap their pictures, show them some love, and definitely let them know that the Cartelli sent you. Tony and I are going to take a short break, but when we come back, we are going to try to solve the world's problems, Cartelli style.
Hello to all our loyal shitheads.
You know, we really shouldn't be calling them that.
I just give the people what they want. I'm not the one who coined the phrase.
Yeah, that's true. But how are we supposed to ask them to rate and review us positively if you call them shitheads?
I don't know, but here goes. If you haven't done so already, please take a moment to tap that 5-star rating. It really helps us out.
Yeah, please hop on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to the podcast and give us a 5-star rating. If you have a few extra seconds, please leave a review and let others know what you love about the show.
I enjoy reading what you all have to say, and it definitely influences what we do next. So jump on the main page of the podcast, tap those 5 stars, and say something nice. Be a shithead, but in a good way.
Thanks for the support.
Bye. Bye.
Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok. So many different ways to follow the podcast on social media.
Fun fact, I only know about half those platforms you just mentioned.
I am not the least bit surprised.
But I do know that relationship content is available on those social media platforms, and if you're not following us on any of them, then you're really missing out. On what? I have no idea, but I know you're missing out.
Yes, you are. We are at PodRelationship on all social media platforms, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and TikTok. So give us a follow and double tap our photos and videos and show us some love.
That's at PodRelationship on all social media platforms. Check us out wherever you social media.
That's not a thing. Nobody says check us out wherever you social media.
Well, they should.
No, they shouldn't. That sounds weird.
Whatever. You get the point.
I mean, I guess so. Check us out wherever you social media. We're at PodRelationship on all platforms.
See, I told you it works.
Whatever. Goodbye. I'm too classy for this world. Forever, I'm that girl. Beat you diamonds and pearls. Ooh, baby. You're not going to help me at all. You're just going to look at me.
I'm marveling at you.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
I'm captivated.
Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Oh. Terrible backup singer. You're more of like an audience member than you are a backup singer. And not even,
oh, you're starting to get it.
And not even a good audience member, because it's not even like you're, whoa, it's not even like you're,
I
clapping,
definitely paid for these seats.
It's not even like you're like clapping and moving along with it. You're just staring. You're like a 3-month-old.
Are you quite finished?
Oh, no, I probably got a few more.
I'm sure you do. Lord knows you can bitch.
From the bitch. Anyways.
And we're back.
And we are black. Well, I
well,
am
you are.
So we're talking this week about... Sorry, I'm adjusting myself.
In the crotch?
I know. As soon as I said that, I was like, no.
I would clap for that.
You're dumb.
Bravo! The best new, show ever.
The new chairs that I got for our dining room table are fabulous. Absolutely obsessed with them. The problem is...
but...
The problem is that they... the back of them, like the seat part of them, is like kind of wide open spaces, if you will. And so you need to like put a pillow there because like you really don't have anything to support like your like super lower back area. And so I put a pillow there, but the pillow like is falling through the wide open spaces. Uh-huh. And so I had to adjust that. So mm-hmm. that was a play by play of what's happening right now at the
form over function.
Yeah. They're gorgeous though. I'm obsessed with them. Even my father came in and was like, wow, you got new chairs. I was like, I know, right? They're
so dumb.
So beautiful. I love them. Dumb. They're gorgeous. Tell me you don't like them.
They're lovely to look at. Yes.
Oh, you don't like sitting in them, though?
They're lovely to look at.
Do you not like sitting in them?
No, I told you that before we bought them.
Why?
Because there's not enough chair.
What do you mean it's not enough chair?
There's a thin wood panel to support your whole back.
How much more do you need?
A lot.
Your back ain't that big.
It's bigger than that foot-long strip of wood.
That's not the part. It's the in-between part that I have an issue. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we're not talking about chairs.
We are? This I thought this episode was called Chair Shit.
It's called Chair Shit. No, so this week we're talking about a topic that we've kind of hit on before, but I definitely wanted to do it more justice this go around. And we're talking about like your relationships past and how it affects your relationship present. And you know, it's no secret that we are all trauma. Mm-hmm. We are all trauma. We are all deeply affected by things that have happened to us in the past. And so when we get into newer scenarios, whether that's work environments, right? Like your past boss was an asshole, so that when you get into your new work environment, you're just waiting for the asshole shoe to drop, right? Like,
what does that shoe look like?
A puckered butt. A puckered butt, yeah. No, we do, you see what I'm saying? Like, so we do, like, that's a whole thing. You know, we're used to being traumatized, right? We're used to getting bad service at other restaurants. So when we go to another restaurant that gives us good service, we're like, what the fuck is happening right here? This is not supposed to happen. Like, are you kidding me right now? So we're very used to it. But one of the biggest issues is that when we're in a relationship, this happens constantly, right? Your relationship's past affects your relationship's present. And we are just waiting for the drama and the issues to present themselves. So tell me, what relationship trauma have you experienced in the past that you think that you brought into the beginning of our relationship? Because I think I want it to be known that we definitely, after 13 years, have kind of gotten over a lot of that stuff. But it still, every now and then, can present itself in our relationship. So my question to you, to kind of start this out with, is what relationship traumas from your past do you think were brought into our relationship and then might still be an issue in our relationship currently?
Well, I don't think that all relationship issues come from romantic relationships. I think they are rooted in other things that happen in life, you know, so you're repeating familiar patterns. So for me, the biggest issue is abandonment. And so anytime you go anywhere, you know, I freak out.
Yeah.
That has lessened, but it definitely hasn't gone away.
Nope.
Yeah, so much so that your mom is very lovely and calls me whenever you leave town and is like, hey, how you doing? I'm like, I'm a wreck. How are you?
Yeah, that's true. It's very true.
So that definitely is still a thing, for sure. And I'd say that's the big one, for me. What about you?
It's, I mean, so obviously, and we've spoken about this a bajillion times during the course of the podcast, but, in all previous relationships, I had been cheated on. And so I think the first part of the relationship, it's not that I expected you to cheat on me. I just anticipated it, if mm-hmm. that makes any sense. And I know I kind of just used the exact same word to describe two different things. Yeah. Like, I just kind of thought that that was like part of the territory. And so I spent a lot of time trying to catch you in lies. So then that way I can prove to myself that I was right about what you were getting ready to do.
Right.
If that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily have that. Now, I trust you. We've been together for way too long to think that you're going to cheat on me. I do think that sometimes you, because of who you are and how you handle things, I think sometimes you don't do enough to like eliminate those thoughts from my head, if that makes any sense. Sometimes like I can ask you simple questions and I just need for them to be answered so that I can like let go of those things. And sometimes because you don't like answering questions or having to be told what to do or answering to anything, you'll avoid answering the question or you'll answer it annoyingly. I should say annoyed. You'll answer it annoyed. Like you hate that I asked you the question. And so you don't do enough to like help me temper that situation. And so then it kind of gets into the like, well, should I be checking his phone? And why is he, answering the question like that? And what is he trying to hide? And instead you could, yeah. So sometimes that happens and it will throw me into that mentality, but it's not because I actually think you're cheating on me. It's because I think you're hiding something from me. And so that can kind of be a little bit of an issue. But I think it's just always going to be a thing. The other thing, and I'm so glad you mentioned it, though, because even in the article that I read, is that they alluded to the fact that some of our relationship trauma actually stems from our familial trauma.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And
a lot of it.
Yeah, a lot of it does. And so one of the things that you deal with all the time is I grew up not feeling heard.
Right.
Like not feeling like how I feel about things or what matters to me was important to anyone. And so I think you and I spent a ton of time fighting about, too much time fighting about me trying to get you to hear me.
Mm-hmm.
And like feeling as though what I am saying is valid and important and taken into consideration, because there's many times where I just don't feel heard or important or anything of that nature, and that's a huge problem for me. And so, but I don't know that that's necessary. And that could be related to some relationship drama. I will say that the ex that I had before you, it didn't really matter what I wanted. He kind of had his own agenda and things. And what he wanted to do was what we were doing. And I was young. I was like young and stupid. And he was older than I was by like, I don't know, like 6 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of just assumed that that's like what it was.
He had it together.
Yeah. Like I just assumed, I was like, oh, like if this is what he's saying we have to do, like this is what we have to do kind of thing. Like respect your elders and shit, you know, like type situation. So I just kind of assumed that. And it wasn't until like I like came into my own and like started learning more about me that I was like, no, like I have a voice in this situation as well. Like I'm allowed to feel the way that I feel about shit too. And that was a whole thing. So, but that took time.
Yeah, of course.
It took a lot of time.
Yeah, I'm sure it did.
Do you feel like there, and of course, in our relationship, you ended up getting the brunt of that, right? Because
yes, I did.
Because I was coming into my own as you and I were starting our thing, you know? And so it caused a lot of headbutting because it's not that you weren't giving me the things that I needed, but if it at all in any way, shape, and or form resembled resistance, it would cause conflict.
Well, there were also times where you were just learning the edges of your voice, and that was the whole argument, was you were literally just practicing. You didn't actually mean any of it. You were just like figuring stuff out.
Sure.
So yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah. It was a lot. And I will say, one of the things that you and I have fought about consistently, and I can only imagine that it's partial relationship past familial situation, is there's a hard-headedness that's in you. There's like a very, that's why I'm like, it's aside from the fact that you're overly emotional, and I'm not saying that like with my eyes rolling. I know it seems as though I'm dripping.
That wasn't a jab. That wasn't a jab at all.
Just dripping no. with disdain. That's
no. Mark it.
The fact that you are emotional makes you read as a Pisces, but the fact that you are
also not a jab.
The fact that you are really stubborn and headstrong makes you read more as Taurus to me than anything. And I don't, it's funny because you're not a Taurian anywhere in your sign, which is even funnier to me. But one of the things that you and I kind of go back and forth with constantly is that like you do not do well with change, with feedback, with adjustments, cajoling, none of that stuff. Like you have your mind made up how you're going to do, what you're going to do, when you're going to do, and any thing that even remotely resembles trying to adjust that is very hard for you to deal with.
It's not that so much. It's the way it's presented. Like, I don't know, the history of instability, the history of rug being pulled out from under you. And by rug, I mean roof, you know, sure. like that, like I'll never forget coming home on my 18th birthday and seeing an eviction notice. Like that's just, it's just not something you know, get over, not easily anyway. And so for me, it's, you know, I think about, cause you say that, often, and I think about it, and there actually, for me, there is a way to go about it. It's more in the presentation, like hand it to me and let me look at it. Like, I remember like Marilyn, I love Marilyn. Marilyn has changed my mind more than any other person on the planet because she'll just look at me and she'll be like, that's fucking bullshit.
I love it. But here's the thing. But what's so funny about it is if I say that to you, I'm mean. And you tell me that I'm nasty and that I don't do things. But Marilyn can do it. And you are like, she's brilliant. She's revolutionary. She has this under control.
There's a difference, though, because she literally presents it and says, does that really make sense? And then she'll like walk away. And she'll let me like think about it and take my time with it. And then I'll come back. And sometimes it'll take me a year because I am very hard-headed. And I am very emotional. And so sometimes it'll take me a long time to be like, all right, so maybe, maybe that thing you said.
And I've said this to you many times before, and we're not going to get on this topic because I'm not trying. My goal is not to harp on you about anything, but
it's always your goal, but somehow. Such familiar waters.
I try these things with you, and I always tell you that when I present things to you, sometimes it's clumsy, right? Like sometimes I'm clumsily doing it. And I can know, I can appreciate that. I don't think everyone is always good at being able to like handle difficult things like this all the time. Right. And so, so I can totally understand that, but I've said this to you many times before, you know me and you know that if I am presenting something to you, it's not in an effort to be mean to you. It's that I care about you and I'm trying to like help you see something or do something a little bit better, or I have your best intention in mind. And so when you resist that, it becomes frustrating to me because it's like, here it is. I'm over here trying to be Mother Teresa and you're making me out to be this evil person. And that's not what's going on. And I know that those things are, they're tough, right? Like it's not, that's not easy. And that's obviously rooted somewhere, right? Like that's rooted from somewhere. That is a safety mechanism for you, right? Like you are trying to protect yourself and your stability at all costs. And I get it. I totally get that. I just always wonder, when do I get to be on the inside of your safety and or stability, even if it's after 13 years. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But those things are like super important. And so obviously, you know, we're the extreme side of all of the situation is abuse, right? Whether physical, mental, emotional, like abuse is really, really challenging to get over in your new relationship. That's always going to be very, very hard. Because everybody is going to read as your abusive ex.
Or if you haven't actually dealt with and resolved it, you're just going to keep attracting abusers.
Yeah.
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 It's true.
It's very, very tough.
Yeah.
So those things can be...
There is work that has to be done.
There is work that has to be done. And that was the thing. We're huge proponents of therapy. Mm-hmm. Anyways, you should be in therapy while in a relationship and while out of a relationship if you can afford it. But you should definitely... You should be in a... you should be seeing a therapist. You should really be seeing a therapist because they will help you recognize those things that might be a little bit tough and hopefully put you on the right side of fixing it. And I think that that is really important. Not fixing it, but like addressing it and
well,
doing better.
Being present with it, being uncomfortable with it, processing it and integrating it into who you are in a healthy way.
Yeah.
Because there is no, like, most of us will avoid or we will suppress, we won't process, which means we're just going to repeat it until we actually learn the lessons, do the hard work, and integrate it into who we are so that we can just be present and say, that looks like that pattern that's not good for me.
Right.
I'm not going to, like, be triggered and jump the gun because I know this is a trigger for me, but I am going to keep an eye on it. And you know what? I might even talk to this person I'm dating about it.
Yeah.
And see what's really going on and have a healthy exploration of that thing I see.
Yeah.
But you can't do that in a healthy way without doing the work first.
Yeah. For sure.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. So I read an article. I don't know what direction you took with your article, but the one that I read was 11 signs your old relationships are affecting your current one.
Well, that's great because I did an article about how to stop doing that.
Oh,
so
okay,
there
great.
You go.
So there we go. So mine is from businessinsider.com, which is
that's
great.
That's a weird source.
It is, isn't it? I was like, yeah. So, I mean, the first paragraph literally says the past impacts our present every day, whether it's in how we approach certain situations or how we emotionally react to what people say. I think, ew, I don't know what was just in my mouth. That was just super weird. Anyways, recording, y'all. Live podcast here.
Stuff in my teeth.
No, I don't know what that was. It was
coffee ground?
Maybe. Ah, that could be that could be it. That was weird. In romantic relationships, it says
should not be able to identify the crap in your mouth from across the table no matter how long I've been with you.
That's true. There is a line. There is a line.
Where? I haven't seen it in 13 years.
There is a line. It says, in romantic relationships, people can sometimes repeat behaviors to make up for the falls of their previous one. In psychology, this is called repetition compulsion, and it essentially means you're trying to fix the past by pursuing similar situations or people who once hurt you. Red flag, red flag, red flag. Like, not a good thing. So you should definitely seek a therapist if this is what you're going through. Because that's just terrible. Like, that's not okay at all. It says, there are several signs that you haven't let go of the past, and these can manifest in how you behave with your current partner. Often these patterns can start incredibly early with the relationships you had with your parents growing up. So that's what I was saying is really important here, is that a lot of these dangerous patterns show themselves in your romantic one as a result of what was going on with like your familial relationships, mm-hmm. which is just really crazy. It says this therapist, the psychologist actually said, our childhood experiences with our parents and our teachers and our friends really do have a pretty big impact on how we operate both personally and professionally in early adulthood. So what are the signs? So I'm going to go through and give you the 11 signs. Okay. Super quickly. One, you always attract the same type of people. I really enjoyed this section because it's super important, but it says, if one of your parents was a narcissist or an alcoholic, you may find you keep being attractive. You keep being attracted. That doesn't sound grammatically correct. To these types of people until you can work through what hurt you in that initial relationship and begin to heal. So that's super crazy, right? Mm-hmm. Like you might find yourself continuing
again that familiar pattern.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is crazy. Number two, you have tainted joys, which is really, really sad.
As opposed to joys with taint.
Or taint in joys.
or enjoying taint.
Yeah, right. These are things or experiences that were once important to you or that you used to enjoy, but because they are connected to your previous partner, you can't stand them anymore, which is really, really unfortunate.
It's very sad.
Number three, you have hangups around physical intimacy. For instance, when people feel they cannot be sexually intimate because of their ex-partner, we're not just talking about general sex, but also certain positions or certain ways in which a person touches them or how they see themselves sensually. Really importantly, a big sign is if you say to yourself, I'm not going to think about it, but if it still owns you emotionally in the middle of the night, or if you're triggered or stressed, then it still affects you. Super important. Number four, you struggle to communicate about things that upset you. This is, again, if you felt that you weren't listened to in a previous relationship, your way of communicating might be more aggressive than necessary in the new one, right? Because you're really trying hard.
Marco.
Or maybe you just have a hard-headed asshole of a new boyfriend.
Aggressive. Wasn't that the key word?
Hard-headed asshole of a new boyfriend.
Boyfriend.
Well, you were my boyfriend at the time. That doesn't listen to you, so you have to shout a little louder because he doesn't hear you.
Mm-hmm. I'm a great listener.
It's the silence for me. Number five, your wounds...
That's how we listen.
Your wounds are not healed. If people mimic the bad communication they had in previous relationships, this can easily lead to fierce rows. People have emotional buttons, this psychologist says, and this could be anything that upsets them, words, a tone of voice, or shaming, and these are where your wounds are. So that could be really bad for you. Number six, you're constantly anxious. This is huge. Anxiety makes things worse for people in all interpersonal relationships. And one of the main reasons for it could be because people didn't have good role models as a child. So like that's very important to know and understand how, you know, your anxiety could, literally be shaky ground for you to walk on every single day and within a relationship. Number seven, you keep disrespecting yourself. This is really, really bad. Definitely, you know, calling yourself stupid, you know, making it very known that like the decisions that you made are your fault, like kind of coming down on yourself rather than the situation and realizing that you're a human being and it is what it is. Which is really bad. You relive and recreate the past in your head, which is really bad. After being hurt, you may find things running through your head over and over again. Some people experience this so vividly. It's like reliving the trauma, which is really bad. So definitely getting past that is really important. Number nine, you're always looking over your shoulder. This is super important, especially within like physically abusive relationships where you actually fear your ex-partner mm-hmm. and things of that nature. Like that could be a really, really hard time, you know, because you're traumatized and you're, you know, you're anticipating that something bad is going to happen at some point. That's a really bad thing to do. Number 10, there's no trust. If you were cheated on in the past, a lack of trust can make its way into your new relationship, which can lead to numerous arguments and even a breakup. And then number 11, you push people away. Some people push away the people they love, and they can sometimes do this because of a bad relationship or trauma in their childhood. Yeah. And so you can manifest this fear in your relationship and end up being so scared that of being abandoned that you end up isolating yourself mm-hmm. around people, which is crazy. So, yeah. So those are the 11 signs. Pretty intense, right? It's very. Kind of insane to hear, like mm-hmm. on paper, if you will. But it's really important that, again, if any of those ring true to you, that you take the time to
do the work,
a professional mm-hmm. to help you do the work, because you should not, no one should live life like that. Not one person.
No, they shouldn't. They yeah. definitely shouldn't. Yeah. So the article that I read talks about how to get over that stuff, how to leave the past behind and be present for love. Mm. And this is actually from eHarmony, which we have never used before, which I'm kind of surprised by.
I don't know if that's true. I think we've used it in the past for like previous articles.
I don't recall.
Yeah.
For me, this is the first time.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of the first times. Okay. About that.
Well, either way, yeah, I was going to say.
So this one's pretty straightforward. It's just a few things. But the first one, give yourself time to heal and take breaks for reflection when relationships end. So often people say the way to get over one man is to get under another. Not true.
Well, and
not to attach to another.
Correct.
Get your back yeah. blown out one time. Like, that's one thing.
Yes, yeah.
But
yeah, like
to just jump from one relationship to no.
And we all know that girl, right? Like we've all been that girl. I say girl in the
G-U-R-L.
But we've all been that person before, right? Where we have like literally forced ourselves to like, you know, jump into a relationship because someone showed us a little bit of attention after our last breakup. We're raw, you know, we need love and companionship, and someone, you know, buys us a drink, and next thing you know, we're planning our wedding, right? Like those things are really, really bad. You should give yourself time to just relax, recoup, lick your wounds.
Well, and reflect. And reflect. Right? What did you learn? What went wrong? What could you have done differently or better? Even if that is not having picked that person in the first place and paying attention to red flags up front. But it's interesting because they say you can't actually get closure if you don't sit with all that for long enough.
Yeah.
And true. So you have to, you know, you don't have to be 100% over somebody, they say. But you do need to adjust, reflect, heal, like you were saying.
Yeah.
Before moving into a new one. Yeah. The next one, find healthy outlets to release emotions from the past. The example that they give, which I love, and I'm sure we're all familiar with, is writing the letter, right? Write that long letter about the relationship, about what you learned, about what went wrong. Say everything you wanted to say. You're not going to send the letter, so it's fine. You can be as honest and as vulnerable as possible. But, you know, simple exercises like that. There are other ones. You can do some research and look into them. But like I love that one.
Burning down their house.
No, that's I'm just... not okay. No. No. The views of Marco Cotton-Critelli.
I feel like it's a very helpful tool. No, uh-huh. I'm just kidding. These are jokes, folks.
Uh-huh. Don't do it. Watch out for overgeneralizations. If you start saying all men do this or all women are like this, that is a cognitive distortion or a flawed way of thinking. And you really have to check in on that. If you start doing that, then you can't approach a new relationship with a clean slate. So you really have to look out for those overgeneralizations.
Yeah,
and that
because again,
thinking.
You're always waiting for that asshole shoe to drop. You
right.
Know?
Yeah, that's that puckered problem. Asshole shoe.
Mm-hmm. Puckered. Mm-hmm. I love the
but
word.
That's by Converse, right?
Dead.
head.
The next one, be aware of your triggers, vulnerabilities, and sensitive spots. I think we talked about this earlier.
I know where all my sensitive spots are.
I know where they are too. But know when you're being triggered and be honest about it. And again, be comfortable with being uncomfortable. Call it out like it is. Talk it through. Because if you are dating someone that hits one of your triggers and they can't talk through it with you, then you can't be with them anyway. No. So yeah,
you should be able to communicate those things. And even again, sometimes I, you know, we're not all capable of saying exactly what we mean, but like you should be able to even clumsily talk through it just right. So that it is addressed and it's out there in the open. And you and I had to practice that is sometimes I have to say things like, you know what, like I just need to get this out of my body. And I don't know that I am going to find a solution to this right now by saying this, but I just need to say this. And I think a lot of those conversations ended up doing us a lot of good because I think you were able to then reflect and be like, oh shit, I didn't even realize that like by doing that, that that's where it took you. Or like, that wasn't my intention. So I'm sorry. Like, and it ended up helping.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't communicate, you're not going to move anywhere.
For sure.
The last one, set intentions for love. These are those goofy affirmations that everybody makes fun of.
India Irie had a song called, I am ready for love. Why are you hiding from me? I loved that song because it was like a love affirmation. Mm-hmm. Like you were just like literally like telling yourself that like, I'm ready for it. Like
on this list is I am ready for love.
I am so prepared for it. I'm like, give it to me. Give me that love. Yeah. I loved that.
Yeah. Yeah. They say that you need to surround yourself with hope, inspiration, and courage in order to meet your dating and relationship goals. And I believe that.
Yeah.
You know, law of attraction. You know, you do have to be positive. But you can say things like, I'll leave the past behind. I am open to attracting a wonderful partner. It can be simple things like that.
My legs are open to a wonderful partner.
I am inviting an excellent man into my hole.
Oh, my.
Oh, my goodness. But again, do the work, own your triggers, look at the past and process that so that you can set the stage for a positive future.
For sure.
There it is.
I love it. Whoop. So that's it. That's what we got. So we're going to take a short break in just a moment. And when we come back, we are going to be joined by this week's guest who has a lot to share about trauma from a previous relationship that they are trying to find ways to get over.
So and setting the stage for something better.
Yep. So Stay tuned for that. And then if you're a Patreon member, we had a more in-depth conversation with this week's guest about it. He got to give his two cents on getting over your relationship's past so that you can build a better relationship present. So definitely tune in for the guest's take on shit segment of our Patreon Lollapalooza. I don't know what we're going to call it these days. There you go.
Pretty sure we get sued if we called it that. Pretty sure that's trademarked.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Patreonapalooza.
Ruza. Schmooza.
Extravaganza.
There you go.
Yeah, so definitely tune in there.
Brace yourself for all these high-minded things.
So you can tune in there and hear that conversation a little bit more, too. We're going to take a short break, but we'll be back in just a bit. It's not an episode of Relationship without a conversation about Parasso.
Oh, for sure.
And this time, I want to talk to you all about the Parasso Blue or Protective Shave Formula, another great three-step shave process within the Parasso range.
Ooh, tell me more.
Well, if your face needs extra hydration, this aloe and vitamin E formula is a perfect way to moisturize your skin during your shave. And because we are heading into the fall winter months, it's the perfect time to upgrade your shave products.
Obviously, I have a beard, but I do clean up my neck and cheeks. And I do have dry skin and need some extra help.
Well, then this is the shave range for you. And you can get it at parasso-usa.com right now. And when you use code RELATIONSHIT15 at checkout, you'll get 15% off your purchase.
Yep,
Head over to Purasso-USA.com right now and use code RELATIONSHIP15 at checkout and grab the protective shave formula Marco just talked about, as well as other great shave and beard care products that will take your grooming game to the next level.
That's Purasso-USA.com and code RELATIONSHIP15 at checkout. Experience an Italian shave in the bathroom. We promise it'll change your life.
Well, being with an Italian will change your life too. I'm sure you'd agree.
Oh my God, goodbye. All right. So today's guest is the founder of Essential House, a nonprofit organization in Miami, Florida, that provides a safe place for individuals in the LGBTQ plus community who have been affected by domestic violence and homelessness. He also has a new book called Love Is Not Abuse, and he speaks about his own personal experiences with domestic abuse in a gay relationship and provides resources and hope for others who find themselves trapped in similar relationships. And he is a community organizer and social media influencer and creator of Gays with Stories, a popular Instagram page that shares the positive stories of gay men around the world. He has been on this podcast before, and we're so excited to be chatting with him again. Today, we are talking with Tim McLemore, or Timothy McLemore, if you want to be a little bit more formal. Hi, Tim. How are you?
Hey, how are you guys, Marco and Tony?
Hi.
So good to see your face again. It's been a little bit.
It has.
How
a few
long?
Seasons.
Yeah, I think it was like season two, if I remember correctly. Yeah, it was season two.
Like three and a half years now.
Yeah. It's been so good. And we've been DMing and you know, commenting and stuff back and forth, which has been great, and keeping up with each other. But it's so nice to be able to like sit down and actually see your face and chit chat with you.
Definitely. You guys look amazing.
Oh, thank you. I just got off of work. I was a little sweaty today. I don't know what the weather is like. Well, yes, I do. I know exactly what the weather is like in Miami.
Is she hot? She muggy?
Yeah, it's really hot. It's been raining here for like a long time, which means come all the humidity. So a bitch was sweating in the subway today. So it's been a rough day. So thank you for the compliment. Much needed. So Tim, last time we spoke with you, you were in a relationship and things have changed. And it looks like things have changed for the better. I'm super curious because you wrote this book, Love Is Not Abuse. And from what I'm gathering, you were going through some things that no one knew about. Tell us a little bit more about what you were going through and what led to the writing of this book.
Yeah. I was going through a domestically violent relationship. I was dealing with somebody that was extremely impulsive when, you know, they were angry, but as well as extremely loving when they were happy. I would say that I was at a point in my life where my heart and my mind were in two different places. And to me, that's the ultimate confusion. And what led me to write this book was because I wanted to create a roadmap of hope for other people that may find themselves in a similar situation, and just kind of let them know they're not alone, and as well provide resources for them, because in my relationship, I felt stuck. I felt trapped. I felt like I had nowhere to go. And I don't want that for anyone else. I know that domestic violence, especially in gay relationships, is something that's rarely spoken about. So I just kind of want to highlight these issues that we have. We never really had many examples in TV growing up showing queer relationships.
It's true. And so I have a whole slew of questions. My first question is, how soon into your relationship when did you notice that you had a pattern of abuse that you were suffering from within your relationships?
with this relationship. This is my
fault. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, when did it hit you? When were you like, damn, bitch, like, this ain't supposed to be what it's what's happening? Like,
honestly, when it was near lethal, wow. When he was trying to basically push me off of a freeway, and it just kind of snapped to me, and I said, hey, like, you might lose your life dealing with this guy, you know? And actually, after that incident, I physically couldn't be around him. My body, like, I would really start having panic attacks. Now, me, I used to grow up, I didn't really think panic attacks were a whole thing, you know? I used to think, hey, just get it together, you know? calm down.
Sure.
But when it started happening to me where I physically could not be around, I didn't even know what was going on with myself. Mm-hmm. I couldn't barely breathe. My heart was racing. I was like sweating and kind of like jittery. And I think it was because subconsciously my body knew that I was dealing with somebody that was so unpredictable, you know? Mm-hmm. He was the type of person, you know, we'd be driving in a car, and he'd strike me, you know, I'd be driving and he'd just start, you know, throwing jabs at my face. Just being attacked unexpectedly, numerous times, I think your body kind of goes into a mode where it's uneasy all the time. It feels like, it doesn't know what's going to happen. You can't really predict this person's behavior. So yeah, I think for me, that's when it all snapped. When it was kind of like a near lethal incident, and when I physically couldn't be around him anymore.
Wow. And you earlier mentioned that you felt like, and I want to ask this question just because I want for anybody who's listening to this that may identify some of these situations to be able to touch this situation and be able to like actually identify it themselves. But earlier you said that you felt as though you were trapped, that you had nowhere to go. What was that feeling like? Like, was it, you felt like you were physically trapped, like you couldn't get away? Did you feel like you were too intertwined with one another? So it was like really hard to like untangle the mess. Like what kind of trapped were you feeling that led you to believe that it was very challenging to get away from it?
Several factors. One of them was being that he never failed to let me know that he wasn't going anywhere. And when you hear something over and over and over again, eventually you start to believe it. You know, it even goes in terms of bullying. If someone is constantly nitpicking on the same thing about you, maybe, oh, you have an ugly looking nose. Eventually you become insecure about those things. You start to believe that you have an ugly nose. And that's kind of what it was with him. He always told me he was never going anywhere, and he'd go above and beyond to prove that. Wow. Also, I feel that, with the violent incidences, it created, like a bond, like a trauma bonding, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So kind of like, no one really knows what we're going through. I felt trapped because I felt like I was going back into the closet. You know, our Instagram followers didn't know what was happening. My family didn't know what was happening. My friends didn't know what was happening. So I very much felt like I was back in the closet.
Wow.
And me being, you know, so invested in gay love, LGBTQ love, with Gays With Stories, I just didn't really... I really wanted to have a good and perfect and happy relationship. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I wanted things to go the way they were posted online, I guess.
I was going to say every Hallmark movie, every Disney movie, all of that. Yeah,
the gay fairies, stories that I would read online, you know, and share on Gays With Stories. I wanted that. I'm sorry. Are we good?
Yeah, it's perfect. We're listening. No, we are good. That's and like I said, I wanted you to kind of put a feeling to that, because again, I think that sometimes people are in relationships and, you know, you buy a car together and you're like, well, who's going to get the car? Like, I can't break up with them because we've got this car payment together, yeah. right? Or we're both on the lease. Like, you know, we can't do that. Or, you know, like my family loves them. Like, there's no way that I can break up with them. Like, it's those feelings of entrapment, that feeling of like, not being able to break free of the situation is really, really unfortunate. And and I wanted for that to, again, I want it for a feeling to be attached to that and something tangible so that people can identify that if they're listening to it and experiencing something similar.
Well, you don't even feel like you're living for yourself. I mean, you guys know me. I'm sure you guys have seen how much I've rebranded on Instagram and mm-hmm. how much fun I'm having with life and expressing myself. So if you feel like you're not flourishing in your relationship, that's a feeling I would look for. You know, are you really living with this person, or are you living for this person? You know,
yeah.
That's a word right there.
Or are you living in spite of this person?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole sermon right there. That it's true. Like, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right. Tony, you were going to say something else too.
Yeah, what were you going to say, Tony?
Yeah, just so I was going to say, like, it's perfectly normal to think those things, right? That we have a lease, we have a pet, we have a car, we have a house, we have children even. And the reality is that none of those things hold you back from having a healthy, fulfilling, loving relationship. And there's a lot of noise that tells you you have to put up with that stuff. It is reinforced that you are not good when you are a queer person. It is reinforced that you don't deserve a healthy relationship when you're a person of color. It is reinforced that this is what you deserve when you're marginalized in any way. And we have to have more conversations like this about how this is not normal. It is not healthy. It is not typical, whatever word you want to use, but it's unacceptable. That's the word I use. It's unacceptable. You should not have this for yourself. And I am so glad that you are here to tell us and to teach us. And I'm grateful to just be able to listen to you and to see the other side of this, because I think it's an incredibly important journey. And I'm really glad that you are doing what you're doing with it. We need this voice. Mm-hmm. We need a million of these voices.
Yeah,
I do.
And I want to talk a little bit more about the other side now, too, because one of the things that I've always loved so much about you, Tim, is that you have such a spirit about you. It's so bright. It's so fun. You've got a great smile. You're just such a lovely human being. So to know that at some point in time, your star was a little bit dull, like, just feels very homophobic, if you ask me. It doesn't feel good at all. So I'm so glad. I'm so glad to hear that you're on the other side now, and you're doing well, and you're smiling, and your smile is so bright. And it's just beautiful to see. So you took this strength from your experience, and you wrote "Love Is Not Abuse." Tell us a little bit more about this book, and what was it like to put all of that on paper, or type it into a computer these days, because nobody writes anything by hand anymore.
Were you guys able to get an excerpt of the book, by the way?
We weren't. Unfortunately, the scheduling and the way we vacationed, over these past few months, we never ended up getting it.
So I actually already forgot the question because I was thinking about your guys' vacation. I saw it on the gram. You guys are living your best life.
No, my question. I'm good for a distraction, by the way.
You are very distracting.
No, my question was, you know, you took that experience and you put it all on paper. What was that experience like, putting it all out there, writing it all down, having to relive that, finding this new other side of the mountain type situation. What was that all like for you?
In full transparency, it was very therapeutic for me. And I felt like it was an important role for my recovery. Just, it was kind of like a, hey, look, this happens to us. You know, I'm always sharing such positive things on social media. So it kind of felt good to be vulnerable and open about this and kind of let it off my chest. It kind of felt like coming out. And it kind of gave more of an explanation on what happened and why we split in details and stories. Obviously, things are changed a little bit, including this person's description. But I kind of want to highlight, you know, how the realness and the rawness of it. And it, like I said, was very healing for me. And I'm very excited for everyone to read it. I'm so thankful for all the people who have helped me with this project, down to the book cover. I've really received so much love and support and many people sharing their stories with me as well. There was actually one today I just heard about. There was a couple in my same city, Miami, and he kind of posted his domestic violence photos, which I thought was so brave because I have never posted the photos of you know, me leaking blood and just the real raw and harshness of it. And I just honestly was just, you know, amazed, amazed with him and his bravery to do that and be so raw with it, I guess. So yeah, I think that the word spreading, I think we're starting to become more aware that, you know, we don't need to be putting our hands on each other.
That part.
And yeah, I'm here for it.
Good.
I'm here for the movement, good, baby.
And again, I'm glad that you were able to take something, you know, as traumatic as the situation and turn it into something positive. So not only did you write this book, but then you also started Essential House. So tell us a little bit more about Essential House. And I know it's virtual essentially right now. Like, I know that it's kind of in its infancy phase at this point, which is incredible. But tell us a little bit more about like the thought to create that and get started with that. And what is Essential House and what does it do for people?
Yeah. So Essential House, currently we are a Facebook group. I'm a virtual house. We're currently on a quest to open a physical shelter here in Miami, Florida, but accessible to anyone in the country. You could be in a small town in Kansas or Tennessee, and we want to be able to fly you down here, give you a place to stay, and provide you with all the essentials that you need to start anew, whether that's, you know, housing assistant, job placement, educational resources, counseling, professional counseling, whatever you need to start anew, because getting out of these relationships is a lot harder than you think, especially if you're lacking the financial resources to do so. So I just kind of want to make it an easy transition for people to leave their violent partner. Because if you really do your research and look into how many people have lost their lives from intimate partner violence within the queer community, it's pretty heartbreaking. So I just would hate for anyone to end up in that situation, or even be in fear of their life with the person that they're dating. I just think that that's so damaging for your mental health. So
it is. You're absolutely right, and I love this. This is absolutely awesome. And you should start a have you thought about starting a podcast, Tim?
I've thought about doing it with Gays with Stories, because I kind of abandoned Gays with Stories because it just makes me so depressed when I go on there.
Fair.
Because obviously from my previous relationship and ever, you know, I guess since letting go, but I really want to bring Gays with Stories back. I just don't know how. I'm I'm just so lost. I have so many projects going on. I'm so lost within myself. And I have ADHD, so...
I get that.
I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, what? I'm sorry, yeah. What?
Hysterical. No, I just feel like... I feel like there's a new element of Gays with Stories to it. There are some other stories beyond... this, right? Like there's other stories beyond what Instagram is showing us, right? This is Gays with real ass stories, which is awesome, right? I think, which is even better. Mm-hmm. And so yeah, I feel like a podcast, I bet you that would be super therapeutic and super helpful for you as well. So that's just an idea, something to think about, right?
Thank you. I appreciate it. I will think about it.
Yeah, for sure. And then, so what, another thing that I'm super fascinated by is that you went through all of that. You lived it, you experienced it, you wrote it out, you did everything that you needed to do, and you managed to find love afterwards. And because this is a relationship podcast, we have to, we have to find out what's going on in your love life right now. So you are in love again, yes?
Yes, I'm in love, and he's dating a doctor.
Oh. I love this journey for you. Well, not the whole journey, but this part of the journey. I love that for you, right? That is so exciting. How long have you two been together?
We've known each other for about 2 years, but we kind of made it official in April. Of this year.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So cute. I love that for you. Yes, 13 years, almost. We've been in October. Next month, we will be married for 6 years. It's insane.
That is awesome. Honestly, yeah, that weird. Is awesome. I always say 1 year in gay relationships. It's like 5 years in heteronormative.
It's almost dog years. It's almost seven.
Yeah. You guys are killing the game.
Yes. It is literally killing us.
Well, I can't tell.
You yes, like Marco crying. Is five times that age. Yes, you're correct.
Bitch, you tried that.
Tony ate you down there.
Meanwhile, Tony is Rip Van Winkle over there. He is much older than I am.
That's not the story of Rip Van Winkle.
Well, you that old bitch. Exactly. As old as Methuselah.
Oh my god. This is like hanging out with some friends, I swear. This is
that's how we try to make it. We want to make you guys have fun. We want it to
Marco's be not friendly.
Not to everybody, no. I'm so glad that you managed to, you know, find love and you're happy and you're smiling and you made your way through it. Are you taking it slowly? You're just having, okay, good, good.
Yeah, because I'm still processing my own healing from my previous relationship.
Sure.
I'm not as, I guess, open my heart as before, I still need some love, so.
Yeah,
that's okay. You take as much time as you need. Any man that is worthy of you is going to give you that space. Back up when he needs to back up. Get in close when he needs to get in close. And it looks like you got a good one. I only saw him for like a second, but he got a good vibe.
Yes, we did get a behind the scenes peek at what he looked like. So we're very excited for you. Mm-hmm.
Tell him we'll come over there and we'll just get him right out of there if we need to.
Right, because we haven't been to Miami.
Better
it's
be
been
good.
A minute since we've he been to Miami. Good. And what's funny is we, and I'm sure obviously he knows everything that you've been through. So what it sounds like, because again, we don't know him, but it sounds like he is patient and understanding and kind and graceful to you to like give you the opportunity to still experience everything that you have experienced, but also experience love and newness. Yeah. And that's even better.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's been there through it all. I mean, he's been in my apartment here while my ex-partner was banging on the door and, staring through my windows to see, you know, see me or see another man. It took quite, I mean, this guy did not care about a restraining order. Yeah. That's what I have to say. He didn't care, about the bolo in my building for him. Wow. He was relentless. So, some people would like that, but me on the other hand,
no.
I feel like he was pushing me even farther away.
Insane. That is insane. I can't. And we'll talk offline. Haha, bitches, you guys don't get to hear about this. But we'll have to talk about this offline
because their Patreon.
You said maybe that's what we do.
The paid content.
Right. Exactly.
You're missing out, you basic bitches.
Because I can't imagine someone who was abusive and, you know, acting the way that they were within the relationship had an easy time letting go of the relationship. So I'm sure you have so many stories, of which we're going to need many cocktails to drink to be able to like really get the full tea. But yeah, I'm sure that was an experience within itself.
Yeah, very much so.
You poor thing. Well, Tim, you are light and you are love, and we are so happy to know you and so thrilled that you are doing well and that you were able to get past and over that very challenging time. It looks like you learned a lot, you've lived a lot, and you've loved a lot, and so you've managed to get past it and not let it define you, but definitely do something positive with it.
Yes. Yep. You exactly that. I mean, you took words out of my mouth.
Well, I'm a little bit of a wordsmith.
Yeah. And a word thief. But to take
just always on my neck.
But to take something so dark and to ricochet the trajectory into the light and then to boom its voice so that other people can heal from it. I mean, you are an incredible blessing, and I am so happy to share this space with you. You are awesome. You really are.
Thank you so much, Tony. Thank you. Thank you.
So cute. Tim, tell our listeners where they can find you and all your content and anything related to A, your book, and B, Essential House.
I'm sorry. Okay.
You got distracted.
It's that ADHD, y'all. It's that ADHD. Something shiny came by.
Well, actually, there's like a bee in my house. I don't know how it got it.
Oh.
Can anyone else see the bee?
But yes, you can find me on Instagram at essentially Tim altogether, and I'm looking for any resources that anyone has to offer, especially professional counselors. I've been building my network as possible. Recently, I was on the news, and a lady reached out to me from Texas. Her name is Kelly. And she's a 68-year-old Jewish woman. She's a psychiatrist, and her favorite population to study is the queer population. And wow. She sort of reached out to me, and she let me know how sacred and rarely talked about domestic violence was in the queer community. Yeah. And she wanted to be on board with the organization, so I've added her as a board member. We talk through Facebook video chat every here and again, and eventually we plan to open up a house in Texas and call it like Mazel Haws. And that'll connect maybe queer.
That's great.
Queer Jews. Yeah
That's great.
So that. The outreach has been amazing. And I'm just really desperate to have a physical house. And I feel like once I get that, I'll feel happy. I feel like I've left my mark on making a change on the world, you know?
Oh, that's amazing. We need to talk offline, because I had nearly started my house. And I did the business plan, and I did the planning with the bank, and I had the land, and we definitely need to talk, because
I was going to say, this is a really boring conversation right there. You're talking about banks and all that stuff.
You want to talk about logistics? This is a great podcast topic. Right. Oh my God. Let's talk about equity.
I will say, Tim, you can count us in for whatever way that we can do anything, even if it's just being able to help mentor anyone, you know, or anything of that nature, like during this process, or anybody that might just want to have friends and support and, you know, might want to be a part of the podcast magic, or, you know, or anything of that nature, we can definitely help you in whatever way. See, Tony, this is how it works. Offline, we'll talk a little bit more about what that would look like in specific detail. But yeah, you can definitely count us in, because, you know, we support any and everything that you do. So whatever way we can be a part of it, you can definitely count us in.
Well, thank you guys. You guys are amazing.
Of course. Of course. Of course. Awesome. Tim, we love you so much. And we'll have links to everything that Tim was talking about in the show notes. And if you're a Patreon member, we are chit-chatting with Tim a little bit more about this week's topic. Tim's definitely got a lot to share with us about what it means to go through something very traumatic and then try to find love all over again. And what does that look like? And how do you not make your current lover, you know, pay for all the shit that your past lover put you through? So,
and I'm gonna say this, and it's unscripted, and Marco may get mad at me later, but if you are moved by this and you join Patreon this month, then all proceeds from your Patreon contribution this month will go directly to Tim's nonprofit.
We love it. Essential House. We love that.
Yes. So join patreon.com/podrelationship. And if you join after listening to this in the month of September, your proceeds 100% will go to Tim.
Yes.
Oh my God. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Of course. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Awesome. Tim, thank you so much for joining us today. You, my friend, are a rock star, and we're so happy to know you.
You guys are rock stars.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take a short break, but Tony and I will be right back. Mondays are the worst, aren't they?
Boo, you whore!
That part. But you know, there is one way to fix the Mondays.
How do you do that, Marco?
It is by being a part of the DNR Studios family.
Oh.
That way, because everyone knows that we release new episodes of Relationship every Wednesday, but if you're a part of the DNR Studios family, you get access to it on Monday, and you're not a part of the basic bitchiness that is taking place on Wednesdays.
God, I hate those basic bitches.
They're the absolute worst.
But Marco, something this awesome sounds like it would be really expensive.
It is not, Tony. Thank you for leading me into that.
Tell me more.
For just $12.95 a month, you get access to Relationship on Mondays instead of Wednesdays. Again, basic bitches. And you also have access to a bunch of other shows that are part of the DNR Studios network. So you can hear episodes from Adam Sank, from If These Ovaries Could Talk, as well as Derek and Romaine's daily live show, which is really fun as well.
Ooh.
Yeah. And then you can also pay $6.95 a month and just get a relationship specific subscription. That way you can hear us again on Mondays ahead of the basic bitches, and everything is lovely for you on your Mondays.
Wow, that wasn't nearly as expensive as I thought it would be.
Thank you, random person who's a part of this commercial. Yeah, so check it out. We love being a part of the DNR Studios network, and we know that you're going to love being a part of their family. So head over to dnrstudios.com right now, sign up for your very own subscription, and get access to Relationship as well as many other podcasts and shows that are part of the DNR Studios family.
Don't be a basic bitch.
Exactly. Alrighty, so before we get out of here, of course, I've got some shit to put on y'all's radar.
I'm shocked. That never happens.
Never, right? It's the first time for everything.
Sorry, what a rare occasion.
Stretching while saying that. I have no couth.
None.
Couthless. So the first thing, obviously, during the month of September, Tony and I have a wonderful discount on all of our Pod Relationship t-shirts. You can get 15% off of your very own Relationship Podcast t-shirt on podrelationship.com/shop. Use promo code season 6, all one word, season and then the number 6 on checkout, and you can get a Relationship t-shirt for 15% off. Get it, wear it, we love it. They're incredible. We wear ours all the time.
Super cozy.
They're super comfy and cozy, are we. And so, yeah. So definitely check that out there. They're, like I said, they're wonderful. And who doesn't love a good discount, right?
And they're running out.
And yeah, we don't have very many sizes. So if that's what's happening right now, sorry about it, girls. Buy the next size up. Or buy your goal weight one, right? If you're a medium, but we ran out of medium, buy a small. So that, that way you can, like, you know. But we also love tight t-shirts on people too. So you can do that as well. Whatever you can do to support us, we love that. So that's number one. Number two is, as you all heard, this week's guest has a really great nonprofit called Essential House, based in Miami. It is virtual right now. It's in the process of getting up and started and running the way that Tim wants it to run. So your support is super, 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 super helpful. So make sure you're following him on Instagram and Facebook at Essential House. That's H-A-U-S-S. So make sure you check that out and give them some support, and you can donate there and give them some love. Again, all of our Patreon proceeds for the month of September are going to go to Essential House. So then that way we can show him a little Pod Relationship love. So definitely join us in loving him as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good time. That's it. That's all I got. We ain't got nothing else going on. We're real boring girls.
Well, then that's going to do it for this week's episode. We hope you enjoyed this really important conversation.
Thanks for tuning in to the Relationship Podcast, part of the DNR Studios Network.
Be sure to follow us on Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at Pod Relationship. Don't forget to subscribe and rate us, and welcome to Season 6.
If you have any relationship situations that you'd like help with on an upcoming episode of the show, which will be next week, by the way, leave us leave us a voicemail at 903-PODSHIT. That's 903-763-7448. You can also email us at relationshipquestions@gmail.com or submit on our website, podrelationship.com.
And be sure to check out the Relationship blog on our website every Friday, where I muse a bit further on the topic of the week.
A special thank you to our Patreon members. We hope you enjoyed the behind-the-scenes interview with this week's guest. Another special thank you to our DNR Studios subscribers. We hope you enjoyed the early access to the week's episode. Tony and I will harass your ears next week.
And remember to let that shit go.
Let it go. Let it go.
That's not what I meant. Not what I meant at all. Sorry, everyone.